Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton used her personal email account for almost all her correspondence when she served at the State Department. So far, there's no record that those emails ever made it to any kind of records management infrastructure at State or at the National Archives. Jason Barron is counsel at Drinker Biddle and former director of litigation at the National Archives and Records Administration. He is looking at how federal employees should treat email correspondence to stay out of any potential trouble. Jason, thanks for coming on the program this afternoon. Is this as simple as don't use your personal email address at work, or is there more nuance to it than that? Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Those of us who've worked in government, I was in government for 34 years, pretty much know that email systems are used in every agency, and we are told by records officers that we should pay attention to the records laws because they're important. We should preserve emails that are records of historical interest and make sure that they're filed in the right place, either printed out or electronically archived. High-level officials are no different, and it comes as a surprise to many that a Secretary of State would choose to solely use a Gmail account for the transaction of government business. It's something that is really goes beyond any precedent that I'm aware of. Individuals from time to time can use Gmail accounts, but the record-keeping regulations that the National Archives has discourage the use of Gmail accounts for government business and make sure that when you do, your agency needs to take some steps to make sure that those records are preserved in a record-keeping system.
Is that the crux of the issue here, that there's with any emails that are extraneous to the enterprise in a particular agency, that there's no guarantee that those emails will be archived as government records? Is that the big problem?
Yes. Emails are often, they often contain very candid communications about government policy, and they are of great historical interest. Not all of them. Many are just ephemeral or transitory, but some are worthy of permanent preservation. And if a high-level official chooses on their own to use a private account, there's no assurance that those records will ever make it into an agency record-keeping system. So this matter is of importance. It's a matter of importance to openness and accountability because every agency, the State Department and other agencies, have FOIA. And FOIA officers have a difficult job in the normal course, but it made even more difficult if high-level officials are routinely using Gmail or other accounts that are not as accessible as official record-keeping systems to respond to FOIA requests. And that's true of congressional requests and litigation requests or otherwise. So there are lots of questions raised by this. It certainly does not represent best practices.
Jason, I seem to recall a controversy in Congress when the Democrats controlled it and the Bush administration was in office, and there were some officials there. I was going to say a name, and I'm not going to because I don't remember for sure. But it was a similar idea that an official in the White House was using a personal email address to conduct government business. And I may have even talked to you. I know I talked to some folks at NARA at the time just about those best practices. This pops up again here during the Obama administration, so it shows that no administration, regardless of party, is immune from this. And then the latest that I see this afternoon is from government executive, 33% of 412 respondents to a survey they did, an online survey they did, said that personnel in their agency use personal email for government business at least sometimes. 15% said employees use it always or often, and 48% said colleagues use it rarely or never. That, to me, is a striking commentary on this whole conversation about what government employees are choosing to use, because it doesn't seem that it's just happening at the very highest levels, Jason.
Yes. Those figures are easily understandable because we all get it that Gmail is easy and other forms of private networks are very easy to tap into. We live in a world of big data. We live with smart devices, smartphones, laptops. We're always on the go. So using a network like Gmail is understandable, but it is not consistent with longstanding record-keeping principles to solely use it for government business. From time to time, if you're on a plane or you're in on the go, then obviously there's a need. The exigencies of the day are such that you need to use whatever you can to transact a communication. But then you'd be expected in some reasonable time period to forward that to an official email system. So the fact that the survey exists, I understand that that private networks are being used. However, it's highly unusual for an official like a Secretary of State to choose over the course of 4 years to only use Gmail. It raises a number of questions, including the security of those communications, whether they're classified or not, and ultimately whether the agency involved could meet its FOIA obligations, even apart from the fact that the historical record is rendered incomplete.
I understand the sensitivity of some other official going into the Secretary of State and saying, "Madam Secretary, you got to stop doing this. This is you can't do it." I get that that's may not be workable, and it's not peculiar to Secretary Clinton. I imagine that would be a difficult conversation, no matter the agency and no matter the situation. However, when it's not at that level, but someone detects in, either in the IT shop or in the records management organization in an agency, is there recourse? Is there anything that an agency can do accountability-wise other than, say, stop doing that?
Well, now there's a new statutory provision. So the Presidential and Federal Records Act amendments of 2014 say expressly that if you transact government business on a personal email account, you need to forward that email within a set period of time, less than a month. And so guidance would be expected from both the archivist as well as from records officers in each agency to make sure that that new provision of the statute is implemented. There are disciplinary measures that might be taken if one intentionally violated the new statutory provision. But that provision was not in place during the first Obama administration. Nevertheless, I think everybody here, as your listeners, who's in the records community, knows that what has happened here is highly, highly unusual. The fact that a set of 55,000 emails have been kept in a private store for a year or more after an individual leaves office is quite unusual. It may be that the return of those emails render any possible problem with the Federal Records Act a nullity, but nevertheless, it's a highly unusual situation.
How do you go about trying to recover those if the party that made them doesn't want to give them up? We have a demonstrated body of record from Google, for example, that they would appear to indicate that they would be unlikely to cooperate unless the judge made them, essentially.
Well, the Archivist of the United States has some tools available under the statute to go to the Attorney General and for the Attorney General to initiate what is known as a replevin action if the emails had not been returned or, you know, if there wasn't a representation on that. So there are some measures that one can do. I was involved as Director of Litigation in a number of potential lawsuits where we believe that records that go back even as far as Abraham Lincoln that are floating around eBay or otherwise really should be in government custody. So emails are no different. There certainly is the potential for the Attorney General being involved, but in the normal course, that usually doesn't happen. Usually a demand from a government agency is enough, like the archives, to settle a matter. Here, I'm very happy that some accommodation has been worked out and that the emails apparently will be returned to the State Department for safekeeping and for availability under the FOIA laws.